David.
What a, oh my God. Oh my God.
David.
Oh my God, Matt.
That was me trying to do my Rana.
I mean, oh, I know. I liked it. I liked it. I liked it. It was authoritative. You had me sitting up and taking notice. This is exciting. I mean, listen, anytime we can get a Brian Safi on this show,
It's a good day. I mean, we will. As you can we'll see, if you look at how many times he has been on the show, we will take him any way we can get him.
Anyway, anytime. He's fabulous. Rana Glickman, also fabulous. They do a show together called Ask Rana with Rana and Brian. If you're listening to us, you're listening to them. There's no way that that's not true.
There's just no way.
There's just no way. Yeah, we, you know, honestly, they came in and we just started talking.
That's what you do. That's what you do with these two. I love them both so much. Words cannot express. And they're just two of the funniest and kindest people that we know.
Yeah.
Such an honor to have Rana and Brian here with us on the show.
Okay, I'm recording.
Oh, thank you. This is my dream that we can ease into it sort of Marc Maron style. I always want to get the downbeats of people settling in. Oh, you got your headphones and like, you know, all of that chit chat, and we can never.
Yeah, it is always fun chit chat. It is.
Yeah. When we're just settling in, getting to know one another.
But you know what? Because it shows our human philia sides.
That's right, Brian Safi. That's right, Brian Safi.
Is this the show? Is that what the show is? This is the show.
That's what the show is. It's human philia. Funny. This week, human philia.
That's right. Because Rana's not a homo. No homo, but Rana's not a homo. No.
Yeah.
But there could not be a more honorary member of the community.
Well, I am a homo, but I'm a... Well, that's a, I guess I'm not. I'm just a lover of me. Does that make me a homo?
Sort of a kind.
Kind of, yes. If one loves Rana, yeah, they're pretty
I think so. Yeah, you're true. In the alphabet. You're on the flag. That new little circle at the top, that's you.
Where's that cool disc jockey space that you're in? That's what I want to know. With the purple light.
Who, me?
Yeah, you got a purple light there.
Well, I got some like Philips Hue action. I'm giving you three colors.
Oh, an LED. Like they come stand in the Mercedes-Benz now.
Do they now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I can't understand it for the life of me. I think it was some sort of Uber edition.
That makes sense.
Uber edition.
This is like all of the, well, most of the lights in our house are these Philips Hue things, and you can change the color and you can dim and whatever, but they're off an app. So we just found out that because our house sitter didn't have it, he was kind of just in the dark for like two solid weeks. He was hanging out by candlelight, basically.
Is the red for wrinkles, the blue for inflammation, the white? Is it like an LED light series like for your face?
It should be, but it isn't.
Yeah.
This is actually, you can put a picture in the app and it will try to replicate the lighting in that picture.
Are you kidding
me? I swear to Christ. So this is a picture from a family party that I put in, hoping to catch the exact lighting of Mike and Charlie's in St. Louis.
This is a level of, I mean, that's like the refrigerator. I never understood that when they were advertising the Wi-Fi connected refrigerator, which I'm going to do well with. Yeah,
that's a step too far for me.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do?
That's a situation where the refrigerator is going to do something to me, not the other way around.
Can you imagine waking up in the middle of the night and there's a refrigerator over your head?
I would never have an Alexa, though. I don't have an Alexa. I don't talk to Siri. I don't do any of that. I mean, Siri's listening, but I don't talk to her.
Siri's listening at all times. Yeah. I don't even want to say her name because I'll wake her up and she'll disturb us. But this one is also always listening. She's just outside of frame. So, okay, we were just getting into this trip that I just got back from. And there's an element of it that I want to discuss with you.
Rana will love talking about this with you because she also is dying to go to Ireland, has never been.
Okay.
Dave just got back.
Just got back.
He also went to England, and Rana is literally the queen.
She's the queen there. She's an Anglophile.
Well,
for sure.
In waiting.
Queen in waiting. And it could have been
but
any day.
Mr. Cleveland, my significant other, was literally in Dublin. Well, is he significant? He's my other.
Mm-hmm. Well, all I know is that Rana has an engagement ring she's wearing and she still hasn't answered him like 5 years later.
That's far enough.
Gotta keep him guessing.
He was in Dublin just last week and he said it was absolutely the most beautiful place he's ever been and it stirred his soul. Did you have a similar experience?
I sure did. It's my favorite city in the whole wide world. It was a fabulous couple of days there. That was our base of operations.
Okay.
Okay, so we went to Panty Bar. Panty Bliss, great drag queen of Ireland.
She has her own bar?
She has two bars.
Wow.
And so we went to Panty Bar, had a great night out with a ton of phenomenal people, and then got in a car, went to Baltimore, a city in the south of Ireland off West Cork. It's right on the coast.
Named after the city in Maryland.
Yes, you don't hear about Baltimore Island much, do you?
No, you don't.
Is that where they did season two of The Wire? I always thought it was the other one, but maybe not.
Yep, if you come at the king, you best not miss. That's what they say in Baltimore, Ireland. But before all of this happened, I was in England for 4 days, and I went to the final Ducky.
To tell Rana what Ducky is.
What do you mean by final? Why are you telling Ducky? Brian? I've performed at Ducky. What are you telling him
You performed at Ducky?
She did. Oh, that's right. She did.
The Royal Little Tavern.
Yes.
Get out of here. What am I even here for?
Rana, the last night of Ducky happened.
I guess I am a homo. Why did Ducky end?
Well, okay, I'll tell you. Seems like the consortium of people who have been putting it on for the last 30-ish years.
Yeah.
There's a bit of infighting. My understanding is that one of them, there's a woman whose name I think is Amy.
Oh, it's got to be her fault.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. She's now like in the city council or something.
People named Amy are difficult.
She has a job called Night Czar.
Oh, fun.
So she like has something to do with the management.
She gets to decide what time the clubs open and close.
Exactly.
Noise violations.
Right.
Sure.
It's a lot of power, actually.
You're being the Night Czar?
The Night Czar.
Night is half the day.
Is it Night Czar or was it something? Hold on. Or there might have actually been a different.
It's true.
Night Czarina. Anyway. So the final, it's the last one at Royal Vauxhall Tavern. And I think their relationship with the venue has become rocky and whatever. So they took over a ton of outdoor space, including that long pedestrian tunnel that is right near the venue.
Sure.
Okay, first of all, it was during a gay pride weekend in London, right? So every gay pride, the theme of Ducky is gay shame, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. That's funny. How does that express itself?
I've never been.
Does everybody wear a suit?
I can't tell you. I can't tell you.
And yeah, exactly. Everybody's more dressed instead of less.
Exactly. Everyone's on the phone with their mother or like trying to meet a wife.
Wearing a pocket protector and some glasses with tape on them. They all dress like Urkel.
Being like high school drama teachers with very tight shoulders.
Yeah.
But anyway, so this being the final one, they took it a step further and they made it straight pride.
Tight shoulders.
So there were some people sort of with like fake baby dolls and baby Bjorns. Sure. They're all around the place. They had living tableau of heterosexual life. So like a couple on a date and not talking to each other. It was incredible.
Oh my God.
I wish I had been.
It was unfucking real. But then the night ended. And of course, the incredible DJs were playing in the pedestrian tunnel. The final thing that happened was Justin Vivian Bond. Did a set. Her final song was A Little Respect by Erasure.
Erasure. That song brings me to my knees. It's so sad. And beautiful.
I love it so much. And it was like throngs of gay men of a certain age just bellowing along.
Right.
It was the perfect cap to it. However,
are you going
to
sing it?
It is actually not really over. It is now just moving down the street to the Eagle, and it is becoming a Saturday afternoon dance party, which really speaks to my interests.
Really? I was going to say, what about that speaks to your interests? Just that's a more doable time?
Yeah, just that I don't have to stay out until 4 in the morning anymore. I can be at home at a sensible 9 p.m.
Well, it's a different thing. It's a little bit like those beach clubs in Las Vegas is what it is.
I guess.
You can take, but there you can are the take expectations your Molly you'll keep at going noon out. Instead of taking at it at 10 p.m. And you can still get to your job at Goldman Sachs by Monday morning. That's sort
there
of
you the go.
Idea. Yeah.
Now you've really got your finger on the pulse.
I'm coming around to this idea.
Me too, actually. I have to say, I'm with Matt. When you first mentioned, it's now at the Eagle and it's in the afternoon, I like broke out in hives.
Well, it's the Abbey now.
Yeah, depressing to dance during the daytime.
Oh, I love to dance during the day.
But all of a sudden, I'm all the way back around and I'm okay with it.
Because you still get to get tucked in by 9:30 if you
Rana, my ideal day, because everyone knows I live in Rana's guest house, my carriage house, my ideal day.
I wouldn't say live, I would say you stay.
Is for Rana to go eat at like 34 Mayfair while I'm dancing. Then she comes to, while I'm dancing at Ducky, she comes to Ducky, she signs autographs, takes pictures, takes me home, tucks me in. That's my hair. That's
takes that's, him home in his straight jacket.
That is a dream.
That's the only thing.
Right.
Crying, he doesn't want to go. He's got his loot bag and a balloon, and he doesn't want to leave the party yet. And then you take him home, and he collapses. That's basically how it works.
Correct. And then you take me to a beautiful brunch.
Put
the
him
next
in a
day.
Fresh pajama, and then make him a pancake for breakfast the next morning.
You give me a tour of the British Museum, and then we go to brunch.
This fantasy. But you have been in that carriage house for quite a minute, Brian. And I don't know that I know. I know the audience would love to hear your origin story as a duo.
I was a big fan of Rana, and this is true. And I just reached out to her until she couldn't keep saying no. I mean, there were restraining orders. I broke them. It didn't matter. I just kept going. And then, so yeah, I commute between LA and Boston because Rana is not, even though we do this over Zoom now because of the pandemic, I'm literally like 20 feet away from her in Boston. But she doesn't want it to be where I'm in LA recording because she thinks that the magic won't be there. So I fly to Boston every week.
Well, people are used to the experience. And I don't want to ruin it for them. They're comfortable with the Zoom experience now, but I'm comfortable with knowing Brian is just outside the door.
So,
yeah, and you can feel that. It does come across listening to the show, I will say. And Rana, for you, it might be dangerous for so many gay men listening to hear that all it took to get in was just simply contacting you repeatedly.
Well, he's not the only one.
What was it about Brian that...
Perseverance.
He's one of thousands.
He's just the one I let through the door. That's
yes,
all.
Why him?
That's a good question. What is it about me that you chose me?
Why Brian? I'm sorry you asked, because it's one of those things where something's going well, and then if you stop to think about it, you think, huh. Does he make enough money? When people sort of say, oh, you look at you two, you've been together a while. And then they say, what keeps you together? And you think, gosh, I don't know.
Right. Now, I know.
Brian is a blast. That's the truth about Brian. And he's easy to be around and fun. We've traveled together. We've had a great time. We have similar interests, believe it or not.
We do.
We love a good conversation. We like to be up on the news. And we share, I would say, a sense of empathy and also a sense of self-righteousness that has made it perfect for us to do an advice podcast together.
Love it.
He's fun. And he's easy. Mm. And he's easy on the eyes. He's
fun.
Clean. You know, he has a nice, nice hygiene. He always has a haircut. He's not a stinky boy.
Yeah. Sure.
No, that's yes. That's very true. Brian, you have a wholesomeness to you,
and charming. What Thank a charmer! You. I mean, you know, there's a reason America's interested in him.
Absolutely,
there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt.
1,000%. Nice. And I said this to you on your podcast that, like, if it were anyone else in Brian's seat, I would be seething with jealousy. But Brian is just such a perfect angel and compliment to you
perfect.
That I can't help but love him, you know?
Perfect. Big word. That's a big word. That's a very big word. And there is a reason why the show is called, you know, handle is Ask Rana. The URL is Ask Rana, you know.
I asked Rana if we could change the website to AskRanaAndBrian.com, but she said no one would
too
remember
long,
that.
You know?
It is long.
Just too long. Yeah.
So much typing.
I think on the thumbnail, there is a small and Brian.
There is.
The show is officially called Ask Rana with Rana and Brian. And Brian's,
the Brian's
in
parentheses.
Is a parenthetical. Yeah.
Rana agreed to put my name as long as it was in parentheses.
Yeah. I think that pretty much captures the essence of the show.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
And it's easy to Photoshop.
I get third billing on a two-person
very
show.
Very easy.
Okay. We are talking in mid-July as the dust from Funny Girl is beginning to settle.
No.
Do we have
boy.
Do we have thoughts?
Oh, boy.
Do we have feelings?
Oh, boy.
Wow. When is this going to
air? It seems as though we do. Probably a week from Friday, so July 22nd.
Matt, you're picking the perfect opportunity to sip on your drink.
Get that.
You're doing
smoothie.
A Trinity the Tuck Taylor, RuPaul's Drag Race Untucked moment of just leaning back and sipping so you don't have to say. I love it. What are your thoughts?
Did either of you see it?
No. I got to say, this is, it's nothing against that particular production. it's not a good show. I mean, what's great about that show are some of the songs and Barbara Streisand. And the reason that that show hasn't been successful since, it's only they haven't put it up on Broadway since, I don't think. It's just been a failure every time, is because it was literally, once she got the part, was sort of rewritten for Barbara Streisand. I mean, it is literally for her. And I'm not the biggest Barbara Streisand. Right.
Oh,
but I have to say, the show itself is incredibly long. It's incredibly bloated. It's not factual in any way. And not that I'm a Fanny Bryce purist, but it's just not very good.
It seems like, and I'm a big fan of Beanie Feldstein, and she's a dear friend.
She's great.
But it seems like it was a, as Brian is saying, perhaps not, I don't know if anyone could have conquered this problem, basically. No one should play Yentl. Let's put it that way. There was Yentl and that was Yentl. So there's Yentl. But you don't know until you try, really. I completely understand the desire to do the part and to put on the show. But a Broadway show is a gigantic undertaking. And every single review I saw, just a couple of them, but from the few that I saw at New York Times, New Yorker, New York Magazine, etc., there wasn't a discussion to be had without Barbara Streisand in the discussion. Streisand, excuse me, in the discussion. And so now what are we doing? There just wasn't a conversation to be had without Barbara in the room, basically. And it would be like redoing Sophie's Choice. Let's put it that way. And now who's playing the Meryl Streep part? And it doesn't matter.
Right. It's like the Pretty Woman, the musical is a thing right now. Who's going
to do it?
Why would you do that to any actress? Exactly.
And to Beanie's credit, the show has been open for months and people have been going because they're big fans of hers. But when you get there, I don't think the show is probably what anybody thought it was going to be. And I don't think it'll continue to be what anybody thought it was.
When was the last time anyone here watched the movie Funny Girl all the way through? It's not good. It's not. It's about an hour too long. She's phenomenal. You can't take your eyes off her. Everything else about it. It's about an hour too long. You don't care
about
the
end of this. But you're watching Barbara Streisand. You're not watching Fanny Brooke. This is not a biopic where the person
But then when you get
the
actual
thing.
Musical in front of your face, you're like, well, what is this? Like, who cares? No one even knows who Fanny Bryce is anymore. Not that, you know, it's just a weird thing to revive, I guess.
It also just seems like it was handled so poorly all the way around. Why hang someone out to dry like that on so many levels? Yeah. And you can't help anyone for being given the opportunity to play a lead in a Broadway show that they've dreamt about playing their entire life, taking that opportunity. And then now you're compared to God. I mean, what are we, you know, that's basically Barbara Streisand is a demigod who walks among us. And every time you open your mouth to sing a note, people are comparing you to that instead of taking your performance for what it is.
So now it continues with Lea Michele, who has been wanting to do this publicly for 15 years, you know, and a whole lifetime before
that. Now it becomes dinner theater. Yeah.
My first thought about this was, who the hell wants to go see that? And then my inner thought was like, me?
Yeah.
And I don't know her personally at all, but by every account, she's a horrible person.
Yeah.
I mean, really by every account.
Yeah.
And I guess there is something fascinating there. And I guess some people truly still have a pure love for her from that show. I don't know.
Well, the funny thing is that people will come to see her for a different reason. Beanie wanted to do the show because she wanted to do, I mean, I guess Lea Michele wants to be Barbara Streisand, of course, and Funny Girl, et cetera, et cetera. It is funny. It's sort of this Jewish girl versus Jewish girl situation, you know, both vying for this crown.
For the part, right.
But the pot isn't really a great pot. That's the thing. Mm-mm. So all you have is the personality that's pushing the pot. And so on the one hand, you have sweet and lovable. And on the other hand, you have whatever that is.
Will throw you down a flight of stairs.
Chomping through nails. Absolutely. Walking over fire.
But can she blow the roof off with her voice? Sure.
Sure.
So it's just a different, there's really no comparison to them. You're just seeing a totally different thing. But what you're seeing both times and with Barbara is a personality forward performance. So if you like this, go see it. If you like that, go see it.
I do love this Jane Lynch twist of people online saying that she's leaving because Leah's joining.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which,
oh.
I don't know if there's truth to that.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that, but that makes a lot of sense. They were in they were on Glee together.
I like that.
Correct.
Yes.
And that is what made Jane. What do you guys know about this? What are your feelings on this whole
mission? Why are we talking about it? And you're just sitting there. We're the boobs.
Because you're here.
You're the guests.
No, we're the boobs that are going to get in trouble on the internet. And you're sitting here sipping
Watch
your tea.
Out.
Yeah.
Watch out. The Leah heads are gonna come
They're
for
gonna
you.
Come for us.
We have a big population of Leah heads listening. Yeah, I agree. It is a very strange time to reward her with what seems to be her lifelong dream. But I agree with Rana. It's like the people who are going to go see that are like the middle Americans who are just looking to see a Broadway show. And they're excited that somebody who was on that Glee show, you know, they're not on Twitter. They're not aware that she threatened to shit in somebody's wig.
I was going to say, it constantly shocks me.
They're going to limp another 6 months out of this, maybe. I mean, the show's not going on for years. I don't, you know.
It's constantly a shock to me how few people are actually on Twitter. Like, we think it's everybody, and it's like nobody.
It's nobody. It's
no one knows about this. You're right. In middle America, no one knows about this.
Because just from following that saga a little bit on Twitter, the Leah Michelle earlier saga a little bit on Twitter, I thought she'll never work again. We will not see more of her, but it seems
we will. We'll see her doing exactly what she's wanted to do her entire
life. And she's a Broadway baby anyway, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think probably.
Spring Awakening and all that stuff.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
It's also the director of Spring Awakening directed this funny girl.
Oh, really?
Michael Mayer.
Michael Mayer, yeah.
Okay. In the meantime, there's the understudy who everybody seems to love.
The tickets are $49 a night and $29 a night.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, they're paying for the guy to clean the floor. That's what they're doing.
Sure, sure. But it's
just to keep the
good
the
for her
place
like,
open
all,
for him.
Nothing sticks to her. It's. I would assume that it's good for this.
Though there was a moment a few weeks ago where she was understudying, which I didn't care for, and maybe this is just the world that we're living in, where she posted on Instagram, "Come see me tonight in blah blah blah."
What's wrong with that?
Because it makes it seem like she's sharing the pot as opposed to me, you're the understudy, you keep quiet, you show up, you dazzle everybody, and that's it. But maybe that's because I don't live my life on social media. Mm. It was sort of a now appearing post as opposed to
Right.
And I thought, on the one hand, I thought, I guess good for her. And on the other hand, I thought, boy, nobody just stays right where they are anymore, do they? You just got to get right out front.
Mm. All of our friend, Jeffrey Self, just saw Chicago on Broadway again because Pamela Anderson was doing it.
Oh,
he said every single entrance she made got a standing ovation. Every single
entrance. That's a lot. That's a lot of information about our society.
People were losing it. Losing it. Totally sold out. Freaking out every time she stepped on the stage. And I was like, how was she? And he was like, honestly, like the acting part of it, she wasn't bad. Like she did an okay job. She can't really sing or dance or anything. Mm-hmm. But he also told me there was a competition on Instagram right before the pandemic. We're talking like early 2020, where it was like the Chicago the Musical on Broadway held a competition for like who's gonna be the next. Like Roxy, did you hear about this?
Yeah.
There was like a big competition about it and like a talent scout thing, except it was just people on Instagram. So this girl never got to do it. And she's been really loud online about it because the pandemic happened. So they're giving her like 8 performances next week.
Wow.
That's her run.
That was the alpha woman.
I'm saying don't sleep on Chicago the Musical 15 years later.
Holy cow.
That was like that woman who played Elphaba or something. And she was cleaning out a garage in, you know, Indianapolis. And they said, we need you to come back for 5 days or something like that.
Yep.
Because she knew the pot. So they said, this is the deal. They pay her, $2,000 a year to say she'll come whenever they need her. like a visiting nurse or a stewardess or something.
Right.
And then she was just, you know, at home and they had to fly her in and she had to go do the show.
Is Chicago like the Blue Man Group of New York now?
Yes.
Okay.
Jeffrey said everyone is dead-eyed doing that show.
Yeah.
Because the dancers have been, one person has been there. The person who plays Mary Sunshine, who was like the Christine Baranski in the movie, has literally been there since the beginning. And is still in that role. And also, by the way, because it's revealed at the end of Chicago that...
Oh, don't ruin it for me.
It's revealed at the end that Mary Sunshine, in the musical, not, I don't think they did this in the film, is a man. So Mary Sunshine at the end, who's like the reporter, takes off their wig and all of this and
Tootsie.
Is a man. It Tootsie. Jeffrey said that in this performance of Pamela Anderson, when he did that, the crowd screamed, ew.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
He said he could not believe it.
That's insane.
Yeah. They were like, ew. Because, you know, at this point, Broadway audiences seeing Chicago are like Disney sitcom audiences. You know what I mean? They're just like, ew. Ooh, that. Yeah. Exactly.
So that makes me think that a bunch of straight guys who wanted to go to a strip club.
Pam Anderson.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, and I was envisioning a bunch of Jeffrey Selfs. I was envisioning people who are like sort of half showgirls watch along, full-heartedly just standing.
No,
for,
you pull out Grindr at Chicago, and the nearest gay person is 37 miles away.
Absolutely, absolutely. First, they're across the Hudson.
Has Elizabeth Berkley done Chicago?
Yeah.
No, but she should. I don't know what they're waiting for.
Great question.
She should.
Yeah.
When will Ronda Glickman do Chicago?
She'd be perfect.
I'm ready with my cabaret shed any moment. Yeah.
You would be fabulous.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think I would. I don't think Chicago. I could do cabaret. I would levitate. I could do Chicago, yeah.
You could do anything, but yeah, I agree. Cabaret, that seems like your sweet spot.
Well, everyone knows I'm a champion tap dancer from childhood. I have my tap. I just have to dust off my tap.
I always forget. Rana was a champ. She really won competitions and everything.
I won the dance award at camp, yeah.
A champion.
Oh, what would I give to see you tapping? Who was Rana at age 12?
You're looking at her.
Taking the world by storm.
The hair was a little longer.
So it was like Rana Glickman babies?
All animal prints all the time.
Rana babies, yeah. Rana baby.
Did you have the readers back then? Has your hair ever been long?
Of course.
Yeah. Back in the day.
Oh, I had gorgeous flowing blonde hair. And my hair is actually naturally very curly, so I would have to iron it when I was younger.
That was the style.
That was what you did. Yeah. And now it's what people do again.
Oh God.
What's old is new.
Part of me wants to burst into tears thinking about a little Rana, but I'm also like, I never want to see that. I want to just see you as you are now.
Don't worry, you won't have to. People can't age. I'm no Benjamin Button.
Were the teachers scared of you?
My teachers?
I feel like if they slipped up, you would give them like a look and
definitely,
you would hold that look.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've always held people accountable. That's true.
Right.
Even as a small child. I mean, really. If you've got the skills, what are you supposed to do? Just dull those knives and put them back in the drawer? I mean, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
You can't be dim in that.
Well, that's what's wrong with what happens to girls in this world, is that everybody says, shh, shh. Stop playing. Stop being so rambunctious. Stop having something to say. Worry about what everybody thinks about you. And if you're able to break through that, that's really the job if you're raising a girl. It's just to get them through sort of 11. If you can get them through 11 to 19, I think, then they'll be fine. But that world from 11 to 19, everything flips and the boys get mad that they're shorter than you and they all, you know, and everybody, they all turn on you. The whole
right,
yeah, you just got to get through it.
The seamen come in and they're pissed.
I really was wondering where you were going to go. You said the seamen, and then there was a long pause, and it really could have gone in any.
I was okay to just end it there, but
I just mean boys get very angry.
Who was little Brian at that age? Little Brian at age 12.
Well, Brian was talking about little baby Brian just the other day on the show, actually.
Why? What was I saying? I don't remember.
You said sometimes you'll say, when something's happening, you'll say.
Oh, God.
What
would
I say to little Brian?
Bring this up again.
No, someone else brought it. What do you bring it up again? It happened.
Sometimes I think now, because I was obviously like, I'm sure as you boys were too, possibly, dancing as fast as I can.
Oh, goodness.
You know what I mean? Just like trying to impress all the time and also trying to lay low, but also trying to be the shiniest.
Yes.
So now sometimes, but this is very inner
nothing child, like now.
No, I never get jealous that the attention's not
your
on me.
Your life could be defined as trying to lay low, but also sometimes trying to be
the best. That's true.
You love a good bath and you like some alone time. And then you like to do your performing when it's time.
I do. Yeah. That's true.
But you know who you are now.
That's true.
Where at the time it was like, who do you want me to be?
I know who I am in this moment.
Yes.
But I will say this. Sometimes I do think to myself, if like, I'm not sure I want to do something. And I'm talking even like something as simple as like a party I'm not sure I want to go to. I say like, what would you want for little Brian right now?
Mm.
Would you want to cloak him in protection? If this were little Brian, would you force him to go to this party or not? And sometimes the answer is surprising and it's like, yeah, he'd have fun.
Yeah.
But sometimes the answer is like, I wouldn't put them through this. No, I'm not going to do that.
Oh, I thought it applied to much more dire things. I didn't know.
No, it can be as simple as that. It's not. But it also applies to more, yes, bigger things.
When people are treating you a certain way and you think, is this okay? Would this be okay if this, which I think is what that should, I should protect myself in the way that I should have or would have wanted to be protected.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's it.
And listen to yourself in a way that you were not able to listen to yourself as a kid because you were putting other people's needs ahead of your own. Got to think about that kid.
Yeah. Or that no one was listening to you. Yeah.
I think sometimes your body reacts first. Like sometimes when I hear something, or when someone says something, like, I will feel myself jolt a little bit.
Yeah, when I say, Brian, when I call him from the other room, and he gets sick to his stomach immediately.
That's true. I throw up everywhere, and I crawl backwards down the stairs and say, what do you need? But I do think sometimes your body reacts quickly, and then, like, that's the first thing before your mind starts thinking. Yeah. And so I try to pay more attention
to that. That is true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, especially if you get an email from someone you don't want an email from. You just think, ugh.
You feel it in your body.
Yeah.
But sometimes you also have to learn to dull that reflex a little bit.
Yeah.
What's that?
Over time. Because sometimes that's just
trauma.
Yes. Right. Or a fear or avoidance or procrastination or things that you are afraid people are going to want from you. And you don't yet know the content of the thing. You sort of have to deal with things as what they are instead of what you are afraid they are, if that makes any sense. Mm. What's this going to be?
It also does. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? Content and content are two homonym.
Homina, homina, homina.
They're homina, homonies.
Yeah.
So we talk a lot about, you know, the culture, the content that makes us content.
I love
at any given time. This last couple of months has been extremely difficult to be an American citizen. What's the stuff you're watching, listening to, reading, whatever that is putting a smile on your face?
I gotta say, I'm an avid reader. Nothing I've read lately has put a smile on my face. Not because I didn't enjoy it, but because it's depressing as hell. I need to get a little more light, because I think the only thing I'm watching is, well, I watched The Deep End. That didn't really give me joy, but it did make me.
I started it last night, and I'm really on Brian's recommendation, and I'm excited. I have predictions about what the turns are going to be, and I'm excited to find out what they are, because obviously it can't just be what it is. Are there big turns coming?
Oh, yeah.
Can I guess what one of them is?
Sure.
And then be crucified for it? Well, the first thing I want to say is perhaps my favorite moment was when they were all in the hot tub and she and Blake, who is that his name? Her boyfriend?
The saddest.
Matthew, have you watched this as well?
Yes. I fell out like episode 3, but.
Okay. So I've only seen the first one. So Blake, her boyfriend Savia, who I realize this is the homophilia podcast, but I was certain was a homophiliac.
Sure.
And maybe is, who knows? You'd think. But I was certain that was where that was going, was that, they were a certain thing at 19 and now he's open and he's out and he's this and she's that or whatever. That they were sort of lost,
right.
Lost
now he's
children.
Kind of the Bryans,
yeah, that they were these sort of lost boys that found each other kind of thing. That he has a stab at happiness with this German girl who's come to destroy herself for some reason, that is another show, I'm sure. But that her when her mother says, I feel this is dangerous for you, and then they cut to the hot tub. And she says to him, basically, you're not ever allowed to have any other person in your whole life except for me. And I will destroy you if you try to do that, because I'm what matters. But I am going to say something very controversial, and you can completely cut it if it's, you think, triggering or awful. You think she pegs something. Him? No, I think that I don't know the truth of her abuse story. I don't think.
Oh, that. I don't just keep
think that that story is 100% accurate.
Keep watching. That's all I'm going to say.
Then now, okay, now I'm intrigued and I almost want to go back in. But some of the other abuse content is what.
Oh, it's hard to watch.
I mean, this is not a spoiler, but she's like planting false memories about being abused in people's heads.
It's so dark.
So incredibly dark. And the shocking part to me is that, like, I'm very available to be put under the spell of any guru, any
Heidi Rose Robbins moment.
I'm just like looking for someone to convince. Yes, I'll follow her to the end of the earth. But
she's going to be the next person in Chicago. They just announced it.
Heidi Rose Robbins is a Teal Swan.
Heidi, both. One's Velma, one's Roxy.
Teal would be. That's a dream. Well, she's basically the Catherine Zeta-Jones of YouTube. It's
for sure the Velma, yeah. So
Teal does not deserve to be spoken about in the same sentence mm-hmm. as Heidi Rose, but Teal is just lacking like any charisma to me. There's just nothing about her that draws one in.
I think what draws people in is that she's pretty. Truly. I think it's like one of those things.
She is?
Maybe.
That is truly lost on me.
What about the moment where the guy says, I think it's strange that there's no one you look up to in this world. And she basically says, I'm going to eat you for breakfast.
Yeah. She's a piece of work.
Yes.
And also, it's the she said, well, do you think anyone ever said that to Jesus? Was Jesus supposed to look up to anyone? And look, I'm no Jesus expert. But my understanding was that Jesus was all about humility. And then my guess is he would take a lesson where he found one. Not that he walked the earth, if he did. He walked the earth looking for...
I'm going to walk out of here if you do that again.
Well, everyone knows the New Testament. It's just this extra book. You know, they had the Torah, the Old Testament, and then they said, let's write another book and we'll tell them this book. And so everybody went to that book after that. But, you know, there was already a book.
Whatever you want to say. Ron, it's not my afterlife I'm worried about. It's not my afterlife.
It's not mine either. We don't have that problem. I just don't eat for a day.
That's true.
I would have imagined that the point of his teachings were, I walked the earth, I met the people, I saw their stories, and I have synthesized a morality out of this, out of what I perceive to be human emotion, human behavior, etc. Plus, I'm in dialogue with God, etc., etc. But it was about learning, not about knowing everything.
Humility.
Rana, I'm ready for you to start your self-improvement organization, your cult.
I will say the first 11 minutes, I did think, oh, Brian and I should be doing a better job at this. If this is really what people are lacking. I mean, Brian and I should be making millions, is what I thought when I was watching. Yeah.
Your coaching business would take off.
Our weekends. I don't want to get in a tank with anybody, though.
Why would you get in a tank?
That would
with
have
somebody?
To be your job, Brian. A flotation tank.
Bath. Yeah. Oh, one of those things. Yeah. To do like whatever she was doing, dunk them in.
I will say that was incredibly sort of devastating to watch, was all of these people who were wearing their trauma on their bodies. You know, you can just see how broken they are for whatever reasons. You know, she said something, I can't remember, your story isn't your story is what happened to you or something like that. And obviously these things are so dangerous, these kind of statements, because... And then she leaves people that are in the program together to talk to each other, which is absolutely mental. One of them's guiding the other one through their story.
Oh, right.
And you think, who's she?
They're role-playing as
they
each
just
other's
two
parents
children
from
alone
their past.
In a room together, and whatever they come up with is the truth. I mean, it just sort of, you know, it was nuts. But you do feel for these people that are just so stuck in whatever has happened to them or not happened to them in life, and that it's awful how many people live that kind of paralyzed or, I don't know, diminished existence. It is heartbreaking.
I mean, some of them do get into improv, so there's that.
That's true.
The best.
Well, there's a lot of commonality.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. There really is. Yeah. Just pick your cult. Is it, you know, a comedy improv class or is it? I'm not like basically not kidding. But I will say one bright spot that I really loved. I was in New York recently. I saw Strange Loop on Broadway. I've been listening to the soundtrack ever since. And it was fucking incredible. So that's been a nice piece of media. And for some reason, I'm listening to Bulletproof by LaRue again, like over and over again. I don't know why. I don't know what it means. But
great,
so that's
song.
Also what I'm doing.
Great song.
I'm going to see Strange Loop in a couple weeks. I'm so excited.
Oh my God, you're going to love it, Matt. It's great.
I did want to ask you about, you both, about spirituality, because Rana, we obviously know that you're one of our most iconic Jewish figures. We know where you stand culturally, but I don't know.
I think we know that. Yeah, that I'm an iconic Jewish figure.
Yeah, but I don't know much about your actual, like, is there a spiritual practice? Is there, you know, meditation, prayer? What's going on?
She does have a clairvoyant. Well, you talk, Rana.
Well, I mean, you know, that's what's difficult about talking about someone like Teal, because she, you know, she claims that all of her trauma came from people trying to tamp down her ESP or something like that. Is that correct?
Right. That they basically were like, she was a witch they were trying to burn.
Yes. Yeah. And as a person who does possess an extrasensory power, it is a little hard for me to totally, I mean, my opinion when I'm watching is she doesn't have what I have.
100%
maybe there's that. Maybe there's a rotten Walmart version of what I have, and maybe she's got it.
Talk more about what you have, though.
Yeah,
I can't talk too much about it because I don't want to. I don't want to demystify it for myself. It just,
you want me to
is. Sure, Brian can talk about it.
She has this thing that she calls her shtetl clairvoyance, where someone will write in about a problem and nothing will be on the page indicating anything. And she says, my shtetl clairvoyance makes me think that it could be anything. Makes me think that their one-bedroom apartment's actually a junior one-bedroom, or that they're da-da-da-da-da. Anything, or that the person they're talking about is actually actually their ex and not just a friend. All this stuff. And then the person writes in I'm talking 10 out of 10 times, and says, I don't know how you figured that out, but you were right. She just has a sense. It's remarkable. Mm. It really is. I've never seen anything like
it. It's just patterns. I mean, sure. That's what I think. I don't really know, to be honest. It just is. But I think that it's patterns. I think that I just see. I also do have an excellent memory for information that I feel that I don't just take. I at least, especially when I was younger, I would, if I took something in, I took the whole thing in. I'm an alert person. So when I experience something, I see all of it instead of.
Lucky Mr. Cleveland.
Does that make sense? Oh, no, I don't know about that. I mean, I'm certainly capable of boredom. And also, I have very high standards as a result, which is not, you know, always the best quality in a.
Do you pray?
Do I pray?
Or talk out loud or wish? Do you wish?
I'll wish on a birthday candle.
Sure.
I think what I do mostly is I honor things, but I don't do as much speaking things into existence, if that's what you mean.
So you're not doing The Secret?
I don't know, but probably because I'm doing so well, I must be doing it.
Right. Something's working. Something's
accidentally working. Doing The Secret.
Yeah.
Right.
Are you doing The Secret?
No.
Do you have you do meditate?
I do meditate every day. I do. Yeah. For 20 minutes.
And during that time, do you wish?
I don't. You know what? That's such a good question. Do I wish? No, I'll set an intention.
Okay.
Which usually is, I mean, I try to keep it very general so that I'm not like, that it doesn't become a sort of selfish thing, you know, of just like, oh, I got to get that writing done. I try to just make it sort of like, you know, to notice my breath more. That's an intention. Or to really feel my body when I'm walking. Stuff like that. Like, to really make an effort to do it.
To be present.
Because it really, I think I've never met a confidence builder like that. Because it just makes you so focused and just, I don't know. I don't know what it is. But there's a lightness about it that happens after I meditate. I don't know if you guys have similar experiences, but like religion for me growing up was traumatizing. I don't have any problem with faith at all. And I mean, the Jewish faith, the Christian faith, anything you want to do, anything you want to do that makes you happy, great. I just have obviously a huge problem with organized religion. But I don't have a problem with anything within that, like whatever your belief systems are. I think that's a good thing.
The idea of hell for a child seems irresponsible.
Constantly. Yeah.
Well, that's the strange thing. When you get older, you sort of understand why people need religion or why they need community. Mm-hmm. And then community can be something that either you're born into or something that you find, but you understand why people want people that have similar interests or passions or live near to them to support them and network. All of these things make sense in the way that humans live. But when it comes to the part where you say, we're just going to drop our children off now, and some other person is going to tell them about the darkest parts of humanity and what's going to happen
4 years old
to them if they make a mistake.
To create a mental horror movie.
Yes.
You would never show a child that movie.
No.
Or if they are something that they don't know that they even are yet, or they have an inkling of what they are, and we're going to drop them off and we're going to scare the shit out of them, basically. Then we're going to pick them up and take them from McDonald's after that. And we're going to do it every week. And that, but as a parent, I can't for the life of me understand why that isn't the moment where you say, well, that's not what I want for them. They don't need to be indoctrinated. When they get a little old, I mean, yeah, sure, you want to take them to the church picnic or whatever it is, fine. But the idea that you would leave them somewhere to learn about hell and hellfire and sin and everything, it's absolutely insane. And think it's great.
Yeah, and be proud of yourself for doing it.
But they're going to catechism or whatever. Is that what it's called, Brian?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a Catholic thing. Yeah. But yeah.
That's a Catholic thing. Yes, it is.
Were you both raised Catholic?
I was.
Dave was
big time.
Yeah.
And what?
You went to Catholic school the whole works.
I was raised basically.
Oh, really? That's nice.
Yeah, I went to a Catholic college voluntarily. It was like, this is how you be a good boy, so I'm going to go and do that. Like, even at 18, I was still having those thoughts.
Really still haven't disappeared from me. I just know how to manage them more. But
there you go.
It fucking can be terrifying. Like, it can be terrifying for a person to not believe in those things any longer. You know? Yeah. When you're raised with that sort of fear, it's still scary to think about, like, oh, but I don't believe it. And then sometimes I'll think, like, oh, God, that's scary.
But, yeah.
You know, it's hard to shake.
It is. It is. And it's, you know, getting back to Ireland, that is a country that was functionally a theocracy for decades, most of the 20th century, and is now, like, after the abuse scandal, generations of Irish people were just like, no, old and young were like, no, this isn't real. And I'm not going. Right. And it's like, it's not like it's fallen into total moral chaos. It's just like, no, we don't need that church. That's just men who make terrible decisions. And now it's like a progressive place.
Do people still go to church on Sunday and has the experience changed or down. No?
It's further down in Ireland than it is in America.
Really?
And same, I was in Scotland recently. Same there. Like, no one goes.
Yeah.
No one goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And abortion is legal in Ireland.
It is.
They just got abortion, and we just had a
Catholic country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
In the last 10 years.
Topsy-turvy.
That's it, really, I guess.
World.
Yeah, I know. Our friend Annie Beckerman said that this is our era of Christian fascism, and I sort of agree. The evangelicals have just, like, fucking taken over. Anyway.
He's not my friend.
Oh, sorry, Ron. My friend. Ron's acquaintance. I'm very
important
sorry.
Clarification. Before we let you go, we have to ask you both about your love lives.
We already talked about mine, but what do you want to say?
Rana, go ahead. Keep going.
No, let's talk about Brian's love life.
No, Rana is engaged without an answer.
No, because this is the Homophilia Podcast, and there are listeners out there that want to know if Brian's available.
And there's a guy who makes blueberry muffins. So Rana's not fiancé.
It really fiancé. Is not that serious. I wish you wouldn't even use that word.
Okay, fine. You're right. Rana's friend?
Yeah.
Or whatever... Mr. Cleveland,
Mr. Cleveland,
the man she sees occasionally is a lot of times how
when
she puts it.
When I feel
it.
Like it. Yeah.
When she feels like it. He's, by the way, he says I love you to her all the time. She has never once said
I say
it back.
Thank you.
Oh, that's power move. That's a power move.
Wow.
So what he does is he installs like carpets in movie theaters.
No, he does. He has a very successful fabric business, and he does do all of the movie theater seats. If you think about how many seats there are in a theater,
right?
Or he doesn't do them with his own two hands. Don't be ridiculous. But big contracts. I mean,
oh, so he owns the business. I always thought he was like a carpet installer.
Movie theater seats, regular theater seats.
Think about
how many seats there are on an airplane when they refit an airplane.
That is a lot. Yeah. So there's that guy. And then there's a guy who makes blueberry muffins who's crazy about Rana. But
oh, he's a Democratic pollster, my neighbor in the vineyard. I mean, at this point, I'm starting to think he's just lost his mind. But his maid makes the muffins and then he brings them over and he acts like
he's so rude to me when I'm there.
Well, he's got
so rude.
Do you think that he's threatened?
Yes. I think he thinks that
he has a personality disorder for sure.
For sure.
But people find that charming in a professor.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
So he's a professor.
You know, of course he's a professor. You know, you're a pollster, you're a professor, you're president of a university, you know, whatever.
Brian?
Wow. So there are, we've got at least two people actively vying for your affections.
At least. I mean, I'm the third one, by the way.
And you're just
in a different way. All I want is her affection.
And we're the fourth and fifth, you know, and the list goes on. But Rana can't be tied down.
What about Brian, though? I don't know much about Brian's personal life. I don't really have one.
I don't really have one. I was in New York recently. I went on a couple of dates. I just haven't really been into all of that. I went on a date here, actually, that I talked to Dave about.
But not after. We didn't talk about it after.
We didn't talk about it after. It was really nice. It was really fun.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
And that's sort of it. Just sort of dating. I mean, even more casually than casual. It's just, it's not a priority right now, I don't think.
Are you open to dating fans?
Only.
Uh-huh. Are you open to not dating fans, I guess, is what I should ask.
Oof.
Good luck finding somebody who's not a fan.
Yes, I am definitely... I don't even know that I'm really open for dating right now, to be honest with you. I've been out a couple times. It's been nice, but we'll see. It's not where the vibe is for me right now.
Well, I don't need to tell you this, but that's when it always happens. It's a very attractive quality.
On a lack of availability. Yeah.
That's right.
Perhaps the most attractive quality. Yeah. Someone who's unavailable.
I think it'll kick in at some point, but it's just...
Why not enjoy your summer?
Yeah.
We're having the Ask Rana Social Club right now. Matthew, I don't know whether you remember or not.
I better join. Tell the people about
the AI Social Club. This is we do monthly. We have a cocktail kiki. So we send people, they join at AIsocial.club, as Brian would say, or AIsocialclub.com.
I prefer ARsocial.club because it takes you to the same place and it's way more fun.
And
it is a lot of fun.
And they get a cocktail box. We work with this.
Yeah.
Is it a queer-owned business? Can I say that? Is it a gay-owned business?
Yeah.
Is it? I don't know how to say it exactly.
Gay is queer.
In Brooklyn, they're called Fiasco BK, Fiasco Brooklyn. And they're a wine and liquor store, adorable independent store. This guy has incredible taste. And he's a super fan. And that's how we met him. He actually invented a cocktail called the Safagato, named after Brian, and won our cocktail contest a couple of years ago. But anyway, he has exquisite taste. He opened his own shop, and we're doing a cocktail club with him. But Brian has really been... So people get a box, and then we have a kiki once a month. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
As you would expect. But
I love it.
Brian is really enjoying the kiki life right now. So it may be that for the summer, at least, he's keeping it open.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's right.
You don't want to be... What you don't want... It's not good for business if people think Brian's in a relationship. I'll just be honest with you.
It's like boy band. You never want to...
Right. Exactly. I am at peak desirability boy bandness. Right.
For all I know, he could be married already, but I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Like Janet Jackson?
Yeah.
With Jermaine Dupri?
Yeah. Exactly.
Just not telling anybody? Yeah.
She was 19,
no, I'm not
I
married.
Think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Jermaine Dupri, she married second. She was married to one of the DeBarge boys. First.
DeBarge. Yeah. That was it.
That was
DeBarge.
She DeBarge. Was DeBarge. It was a DeBarge. I think it was Chico. Was it Chico DeBarge?
Was that his first name?
I don't know. There is a Chico DeBarge, I think.
Well, there's a lot of DeBarges.
There's a lot of DeBarges.
Yeah.
I didn't know there were that many. Were they all in the band?
A bunch of them were. I guess they were sort of like the Jacksons, but not.
They were probably reserved DeBarge siblings.
The Jacksons were sort of the original Kardashians, aren't they? When you think about it.
Because they were all famous.
Well, they all lived deep in the valley, and there were a bunch of them, and there was something alluring about the fact that there were so many of them.
So there were five DeBarges. They were all in the family.
And which was the Janet Jackson one?
Renee, or something like that. Who was she married
to? Okay, let's see. Who, oh, well, the main DeBarge was El DeBarge.
Sure. El DeBarge. Eldra.
Who was Janet
Short
Jackson?
For Eldra. It's an odd name.
Really?
Yeah.
Married to DeBarge. Okay, so she was married to James DeBarge.
James DeBarge.
Oh, I didn't expect that.
They kept their relationship out of the spotlight and secretly married. Mm-hmm. Their time together was a whirlwind, to say the least. This is when she looked like Elizabeth Taylor, when she was wearing those like business suits and like the these have always brought me luck hair. Remember that weird
Yes.
Dress?
Mm.
Yes. This was was when she was married to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mid to late 80s were a very, very strange time.
They were. Everyone wanted to look 80.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I just rewatched The Big Chill, and the wardrobe is wall-to-wall perfection.
I want to watch it again just for that, actually. Just to see that wardrobe.
You should. The running shorts on Kevin Kline are the perfect length.
What are they,
Very
3 inches?
Short.
They're 3 inches maximum. Meg Tilly in a chunky knit sweater and a puffy vest. It's fantastic. It's fantastic.
Oh, I'm dying. I can't wait to see that again.
But they all dress like old professors.
And does the movie hold up?
It does. I loved it.
How old are they supposed to be? Like 20s, 30s?
Like 35-ish.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be like 15-ish years out of college. So like late 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah, which seemed impossible.
People used to be grown-ups at 35. Isn't that funny?
They did.
Now
I can't even imagine watching that movie.
Everyone's teenagers forever now. That's what's fun about the internet is everybody gets to eat candy and go to bed when they want.
That's right. You could be 50 and go to the ice cream museum. Yeah. It's not a problem.
Yep.
Yeah. And get a boomerang out of it.
And wear sneakers. Everybody gets to wear sneakers now and wear fun colors and say, I wear Pokemon for Louis Vuitton or whatever. Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah.
Sure.
Because I want to be a kid. That's all it is. I want no responsibility and I want to eat candy for breakfast.
Long ago we said, I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. And guess what? We didn't.
There's a million toys at Toys R Us.
We took those words to heart. Yeah.
Yep. We did it.
How does it go? There's a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with. From something
I don't
to something
grow up,
and video games, it's the biggest toy store there is. Gee whiz.
Rana.
I don't want to grow up. Maybe
she does a role play with Mr. Cleveland.
I couldn't be a Toys R Us kid. More games, more toys. Oh, boy. I want to be a Toys R Us kid.
She does a game with Mr. Cleveland where he works at Toys R Us, and she's a child going in there.
He works at Babies R Us.
Trying to steal the toys.
No, and I do a super toy run,
Or sometimes if she wears, she has a hood that goes with that turtleneck she's wearing, and she'll dress as like Jeffrey the Giraffe. So she'll do that.
I do. I do Mr. pay Cleveland Jeffrey dollars stuff. For anything that happens between us. It's true. Yeah.
You guys.
Oh God, you're so both such dreams.
I love you both. So
what
much.
A nice show this is.
A real bucket list.
What a nice hour we've had.
It's been lovely.
I'm sad. So I'm sad about here. Ducky, but I guess.
Well, it'll live on. At a more sensible hour, frankly.
Yes, it'll be outside now. I mean, the truth is the pandemic must have been hard on it.
Well, there's an indoor spot. There's an indoor area at the Eagle. In the grand tradition of Eagles, it smells odd.
At the Eagle? I think I've been to the Eagle, too. I'm trying to remember what it looks like, but yeah.
Well, this Eagle is a little more mixed than like the one here. Or
it
the
is.
One
it's
in
not
New
as,
York.
It's yeah. not as... expert level.
As hardcore.
Yeah.
Expert level.
I love that.
Wow.
Level. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear that Elon Musk was turned away from a sex club in Berlin? Did you hear that?
I did not hear that.
Yeah.
Did not.
I love it. It's my favorite story.
Went back to his hotel and decided to buy Twitter that night.
That night.
Yeah.
Furious.
So.
That's what happens. That's why we should not taunt Kavanaugh out of a restaurant, maybe, because who knows what he's going to do with that rage.
It's why we shouldn't write think pieces about Elon Musk, because there's nothing to think about except what he was thinking about when he did whatever he did.
He's one of those people where it's like, oh, you're a dork.
Thank you.
All I need to know about you is that you are a
It's like
dork.
That great ending.
That explains everything.
Congratulations. You're very smart. That's wonderful. And the rest of you is a mess. And we have
you're
to deal with it.
You're a fucking
It's like
dork.
That great ending of The Social Network that I'll never forget when like he just keeps, you just realize he's done this all because he got rejected.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's all it is? Yeah.
That's all it is.
And that's where we end.
Ron and Brian, please. Any come moment. Back.
I love this show.
And
you too. Thank you so much for having us. We adore you both, truly. I always feel very honored because if you look on iTunes at our show, your show is often one of the shows that they say, if you like this, you'll love that.
That they do.
Yeah, that makes me very happy.
That's true.
It's delicious.
Oh, that is the greatest honor.
It's certainly true the other way around.
The algorithm believes that we belong together. That's what I can tell you.
There it
and
is.
And it's never they're wrong. Absolutely. It's never right. ever wrong.
They are right. Everybody go to arsocial.club and join that social club. I'm looking at this site and it's gorgeous. All right, sign me up.
Love you, boys.
You too.
Mwah. Thank you both for being here. We love you.
Homophilia is a World of Wonder production, produced and edited by Kate Moldenhauer.
Special thanks to Randy Barbato, Fenton Bailey, Steven Sims, Edward Bochniak, and the whole team at World of Wonder. We love you!
And theme music by my Ben Wise.
Yes, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at HomophiliaPod. You can give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening. We love you!